Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
So as you know, we've been talking about make room here at Highway the last few weeks. So what am I going to speak on? Make room. Sorry, I got a bit emotional during that last song. Wasn't it good seeing Mark not hiding behind the piano this morning? I was going to say you look naked. I'm allowed to say that from up here? You felt it. It's good to see you singing. Oh, you know, why fall on us? Why do you want God's Spirit to fall on us? I want to feel his presence upon my life. I want to have him walking with me day by day. But I want his authority to be in my life. I want to touch the world. I want to leave a mark in the people around me, not a negative mark, but a positive work. So, positive mark. So can we make room today? Make room for what God wants to do. Can you remember a few years ago when this word COVID was going around? And we're all locked up. And we didn't have any room because we're locked away. We weren't allowed to do a whole heap of stuff. We weren't allowed to go to movies. We had to wear masks. And we had all these restrictions put upon us. And we wanted room. We wanted to be set free. We wanted to be released. And now we're released. And what is God saying to us? Make room. Because we just filled our lives up with something else. We got set free from COVID. And now look at us. We've just filled our lives with everything else and gone back to the normal way of life. That was such a moment for us as a nation, as a church, as a body of believers to say, what are we going to do different? This is a moment in time where we can make a change. We can make room for God. And we're only a couple of years past that, but can we put that in our lives? What are we going to do? Are we going to make room for God? And our money and our health and our relationships and our lives. You know, there's always something. Is your life busy? My life is crazy busy. You know, from 6 o'clock when I get up in the morning, Claire's 4:30 in the morning, I'm 6, till 7 o'clock at night, it's just go, 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 go. And to stop and to make rooms, you've got to be really intentional. You know, if you downloaded, and this is for the younger generation, this isn't for me. And you've tried to download something onto your phone or down to the cloud, and it says you haven't got any room, there's no room left. And then next thing you get this email saying, if you pay an extra $5 a month, if you pay this, we will give you some more room. Well, can you imagine that for your lives? That your life is like your phone that is full of photos. Your iCloud storage is chockers. And God's got something he wants to pour down into that area of your life. And you're like, I'm going astray here. Can you imagine how the innkeeper felt when he said there's no room at the inn? Jesus could have come and been at his inn. And he says, no, there's no room. Can you imagine what happened a few years later when he suddenly realized the Son of God wanted to be born in his inn and he said, I've got no room? I wonder if that's like for us when we say there is no room. My iCloud storage is full. My phone is full. Maybe we need to make some room. So instead of living the pain of the change of trying to make room, let's live with that pain instead of the pain of regret later on when we missed our opportunity. I don't want to have regrets from missing my opportunity. For us in the older generation, have you got clothes? Lorna, have you got clothes from the 70s? You have? I went through and when we did that barn dance the other year, I pulled out a pair of bell-bottom jeans that I had still in my cupboard. What's in your cupboard that you can throw out to make room? We all want God to make room, but the question I've got from a lot of us this morning is, what are we going to throw out so there's room for God in our lives? What are we going to change so there's room? If the barns are full, how will you put more in? And by the way, I'm not talking about tithing. As a church, we want to give. And if there's nothing left in the barns, we can't give anything. So I'm talking to the believers here that call Highway Gilston home. You know, if we tithe regularly, there's room, the barns are full. And when they're full means we can give out to others. But if there's nothing in the barn, it's empty. Just a side note. Most of us think we don't have much, but God. When you sit at home, do you ever think about that? I haven't got much. I haven't got enough money. I haven't got enough food. I haven't got enough time. I haven't got enough friends. I haven't got enough energy. But God. But God. God has a habit of turning up, and these things where we think we're living in lack, all of a sudden we find out, hey, there is plenty of stuff here if I partner with God. And we're prepared, as we heard the last couple of years, to enlarge the place of our tent. So I want to read a scripture out that Pastor Ann read out a few weeks ago, and it's 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. And Lord, I pray as we read out your word, Lord, it would be enlightened to us, Lord. Oh, actually, Brendan, can I borrow your Bible, your anointed Bible? My translation is different than the one I've got on the screen. Okay. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he is coming." And you know that is revered of the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. There's a woman that owes a lot, and this man is coming to take her boys as payment. Elijah said to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." That's where I'll finish. Thank you, Brendan. I can keep it. Oh. So my first thought is, what shall or what can I do for you? The prophet Elijah spoke to the woman, and he asked her, and I'm sure he would have known, but he's asking the question, what shall I do or what can I do for you? Have you thought of something? If you're going to ask God for something, what can I do for you? You know, the widow would have never had a miracle if there wasn't a famine. And I wonder what the miraculous answer to prayer God has got on your life and my life, if we stopped and listened to that. When God says to us, "God, what can I do for you?" Many of us don't even know we're in a famine because it's our norm and we're just surviving day to day to day, but there is more. And we don't even know or realize there's more. Many of us are listening to the voices of the age, especially our young generation, and they're getting told a whole lot of lies and deceptions, and they think that's the norm, but it's not. You know, God's voice needs to be heard above all others. Above all others. When those voices, not just of the people on the platform, speak, we want to hear God's voice. When those voices internally speak to us, what are the voices that we hear, and are we allowing God's voice to be over those voices, to disrupt those voices? Can we going to make room to hear? In James 1, verses 21 to 22, it says, therefore, get rid of, pretty hard words, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That word accept in the Greek is dekomai, which means to receive like a stranger, to receive into our life. Let Jesus be the filter of the word that comes into our life. Make room for his word to get in our life. It's all about intentionality. All about intentionality. We pray, God, will you do this for me? And then we go out and mow the lawns. I'm really bad at this. We go out and mow the lawns, whippersnip, we clean, we do everything we have to, and we come back in. God, will you do it for me? And then we go and make dinner. We go and feed the kids. We go and do everything else. God, will you do this for me? But where is the making room? Where is the making room in our lives? See, our most significant challenge can become our most incredible miracle if we put God into the problem. I only have a jar of oil, just a little old jar of oil. It's not enough. It's never going to help me. But when we use it, oh, the supernatural takes place. Have you done that in your life? Have you stepped out by faith in an area and seen God move? When was the last time we stepped out by faith? Not just in the natural, but actually in the supernatural. To say, I can't do this, but with God, I can do this. When was the last time we took the chance to put it all on the line and says, okay, God, I'm going to look like a fool if you don't turn up. And you know what? He turns up. He turns up. And all of a sudden, you see before your very eyes that the supernatural touch of God upon your life and the lives of others. And your faith is just growing because you took a chance and you stepped out. Make room. You know, it takes tension for growth. And as I said before, we can have the tension before the growth. We're intentionally changing our lives, intentionally confronting the things of our lives, intentionally changing our lives, and intentionally allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. Or we can suffer with the tension afterwards, where we're living in the same state we always wanted to change, and we never break free of that change. I want the first tension. I want to be intentional. See, Micah says these words, and Micah was speaking to the Israelite nation, and they were under the law, and they were getting pounded, saying, you've got to live by the law, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. And the prophet Micah says, and he says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us, and you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. When all of the people around him was talking about law, having you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, Micah talks about this intimate relationship with God where God is going to set me free. Are we going to make room for this intimate relationship with God? Can I ask you another question? When was the last time you actually heard from God? Do you hear from him daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, 10 years ago? Every moment of the day, to make room to hear his voice, to hear his voice, that we might enlarge the place of our tent, my second point. We've heard this many times from Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3. I know this off by heart, but anyway. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes. God is saying to us, just as the first scripture. When the woman came through and she had the jar of oil, and she went and got as many jars as she could find from all her neighbours, what did she say to her sons? She said, "Hand me the jars. Hand me the jars." She stands there with a jug of water, small jug of oil. And she's standing there with nothing in her hand. And she's asking her sons, "Will you hand me a jar? Just a jar. Will you hand me a jar? Will you hand me a jar?" And so one of the sons comes up and gives her a jar, and she pours out the oil into the jar, fills it up. It never goes down, by the way. It's still full. The next jar, the son comes. She fills it up. The son goes back and gets another jar, brings it to her, fills it up. Then another jar, then another jar, then another jar, then another jar, then another jar. Last jar. Where's the next jar of oil? The next jar. There's no more jars left. And the oil stops pouring. The woman went round and found all these jars, but when she sat there with her small little jar of oil and started pouring it out. And I think God's saying to us this morning exactly the same thing. He's got this little jar of oil. And can you imagine this little jar is here on the stage right now, and he's going from Mark at this end, and he's pouring out the oil. And pouring out the oil, and pouring out the oil, and pouring out the oil, and going around from row to row and pouring out the oil. You see, there's some empty seats here. And he wants to pour out the oil on those people in those seats. But there's no jar. There's no jar. There's no jar. And he wants us to bring the jars so they can be full of oil. Are we like the sons who were faithful and stood by their mum and bought the jars of oil so they'd be filled? No condemnation, but when was the last time we bought a jar of oil? A jar to be filled with oil. When was the last time we by faith stepped out and told someone about our faith? Another jar. Another jar. Jar for Monday. Jar for Tuesday. Jar for Wednesday. Jar for Thursday. Jars for Friday. Jars for Saturday. And jars for Sunday. They all might come and get filled with the presence of God as we influence others. And more than that, there's another way to look at this too. Where these are the areas in my life where God's not allowed in this area because it's too hard. There's too much shame in this area. God's not allowed in this area too because my memories are too strong. And maybe he needs to come in this area because there's some things that have been handed down from my family lines that need to get dealt with. Maybe there's some indiscretions and sin that are in my life that I don't want to deal with, and it sits there. And are we going to allow God to, or are we going to bring the jar of oil to God and say, "God, you can pour out your oil in this. You can fill my jar. You can fill my jar." And knowing that healing and the restoration comes as the jars get full in our lives. And yet we hold back. Let us never be like that. You know, God will provide. Are we prepared? Enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge our thinking. I don't have to be angry. You know, maybe the sickness that's in my life, maybe this deformity that's in my life. And I heard something, this is in my notes. But I heard this the other day, and it was on the ABC. I listen to the ABC radio when I'm driving sometimes. One of those funny people. And, Martin, I see that hand. And I'm listening to this interview. And they're interviewing all these people with deformities in their life. And this one woman came up and she's speaking to this man, and she was saying that she's got this rash all over her skin. And it's very obvious. And she had some other things wrong with her as well. And she said, she's almost had enough of this, because she goes into to restaurants, or she walks down the road and she'll see someone following her and she thinks, oh no, here it goes again. And she sits down in the restaurant and this person comes up and says to her, I believe God can heal you. And says, can I pray for you? And she says this has happened to her. She can't count how many times in her life. But this woman said, and I've got to word this very, very well so it doesn't come across negatively. But she said, I'm actually happy with where I am in my life. God loves her. God loves me. And my brokenness is on the outside for everyone to see. But I don't need to be healed. I'm actually comfortable with my deformity. And I've got to word this very well again. She was happy. She was humble. But she questioned. She said, why are these people wanting to pray for me? Is it because they feel that God wants them to? Is it feel because they want to actually heal me? They want to make me better? Or is it because that they want to feel better inside because they've done something for God? And it actually challenged me a little bit. Because there's this way we can love people. And I, by the way, I believe in healing. I pray for people in the streets. I haven't done it for a while, but I pray for people at work, and I've seen God's miraculous hand. But for us, can we, I suppose, be disciplined in our lives when we look at people and we're not just healing physical bodies, we're healing hearts, we're healing wounds, we're healing all these things. And I don't know. I look at me. I could stand here and I could say, I'm deformed. I've got a big nose. I'm deformed, I'm skinny. I could say all these negative things about me because we all know that we always see the worst in all of us, don't we? And yet God hasn't shrunk my nose, but he still loves me. God hasn't made me fat. I try my hardest. But he still loves me. And can we not look at people so much as being broken? Because God's spirit, you know, his breath is in all of us. It is in all of us. And God has a plan and a purpose for all of us, and I don't know what that looks like for all of us. But to rest and find God's peace in our lives, his love in our lives, and to focus on him, not so much whether my nose is big or I'm skinny or whether I'm fat or whatever else, but God loves me and I'm confident in who I am. This woman was saying she is confident in who she was. She knew God loves her. She knew she was free. But she actually felt quite negative things. And I don't know if I articulated that very well. Not saying you don't pray for people. Not saying you don't heal people. But can we be aware, not of the negative things in our lives, but be aware of the positive things, God's breath in our lives, God's peace in our lives, God's strength in our lives, God's authority in our lives, instead of worrying about our nose and our physical shape. You know, we've got to make room. We've got a discipleship course tonight, by the way. Are we going to make room for the discipleship course tonight? Are we going to become and we're going to be changed tonight? Are we going to learn how to live this life well tonight? We've got a sign-up sheet in the back, by the way, and Brendan's going to push it at the end of the service. We're going to push and we're going to ask everyone to come tonight. By the way, we're making it really easy for you. We're putting on dinner at first. We're feeding the kids. We're going to make it an hour and a quarter long, so it's going to be easy for you to come. But we want you to grow in God. We want you to live under his blessing. And as we learn, as we learn and we disciple each other, we grow in God. It opens up doors of blessing in our lives where God can flow through us. So I believe tonight's going to be powerful. Please don't miss tonight. If you haven't put your name down, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. It's an unashamed plug for tonight. It's time to grow spiritually. Are you a small man on the inside, an SM? Or are you a man on the inside? Or are you large on the inside? Or are you a 3XXL on the inside, full of God, bursting at the seams? I pray that after tonight, you're going to be a 3XXL on the inside, bursting at the seams for God. Can't help but let it out. You know, Pastor Byron spoke last week about the labor principle. where the priest used to go to the laver and there'd be a mirror in the laver. So when you looked in, you could see yourself. You could see all the big nose. You could see everything that was wrong. And it'd remind yourself, I've got to look at myself. And then you washed yourself in the laver to wash yourself clean. May we be like that tonight, where we're going to come, we're going to disciple each other. We're going to see some things and we're going to wash ourselves clean of those areas and leave closer and better to God. See, in Romans 8:1 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. This is what we are like. This is who we are. My last thought. Open heaven. Who wants an open heaven? Are you ready to go through those first two things to get to an open heaven? Are you allowing yourself to go to the laver, to look into that laver and say, ooh, I didn't see that before. Oh God, I'm allowing you to wash that off. Are you allowing yourself to come and say, God, I've got a pot here that needs to be filled? I wonder how often we've missed out on God's blessing just because there is not enough room. The excuse, my life might be messed up. Do you know God can make something beautiful out of your life? Can you imagine what the woman felt when she had that small jar of oil and she poured the first one? The jar's only this big and the jug is this big. And she starts pouring it out. Can you imagine the excitement in her life as she starts to pour into that first jug and sees, as Brendan said this morning, you start to see the miracle in your hands. And then she says, son, will you bring me another? And she brings another. Can you imagine the excitement in her life as she brings the next one and starts filling it up? And then she gets the next one and starts filling it up. And it happens over and over and over again. The excitement that wells up within her as she sees the miraculous of God in her life. Oh, I want that to be me. I don't want to miss out what God wants to do in my life. I want to see the miraculous of God. I want more of these empty jars. I want to see God filling them up. God, I need you to fill me up. You know, she borrowed because she recognized her lack. And I wonder how many nights she probably cried before this moment, where she was saying, crying out to God, saying, God, this man's going to take my sons away to be his servant. I'm going to be left with nothing. God, I cry out to you. I need your blessing. God, I need you in my life. I need you, I need you, I need you. And the prophet standing there saying, what do you want? God is saying to us this morning, what do you need? What do you need? Lord, may our blinkers come off, Lord. God, that there might be such a hunger in our lives, Lord, for you. Such a hunger. There's this other story in the Bible, and it's from Luke 5, 1 to 11. And it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down your nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish. and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. Wouldn't you like to be in this situation, all you fishermen? But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and they followed him. Oh, can you imagine those fishermen? Have you ever been to the state, and guys, I don't know if girls do this, guys, when you're so excited when something's going on, you can't help but you start laughing because of the ridiculous of the situation. You know, when you've been riding that bike crazily too hard and you start going sideways on the road and you've got that power and you're doing this big power slide and you're just laughing inside your helmet because it's just so much fun. When you, whatever your sport is, whatever you're doing, and you're with your mates and something crazy happens and or someone breaks their leg and you start laughing because it's so much fun. Guys, is that you? I can't help it. I start laughing. Can you imagine these fishermen? They're pulling in these nets and they're laughing their heads off because there's this big haul of fish and they can't pull in the nets. Then they call their mates, "Come and help us." And they come out and they're trying to fill their boat and they're all laughing with each other as they're pulling in all these fish. Wasn't that a better state than sitting back, catching nothing all night? God is saying to us, go and get some pots. Go and get some pots so I can fill them up. There's some fish there that need to be caught. There's some fish in our own lives that need to be caught and arrested. But there's also some fish and some other people that need to be caught and brought to the house of God, brought into the relationship with God. You know, my God is the God of abundance. My God is the God of more than enough. My God is the God that sees us free, released, healed, delivered. That is who my God is. So that's why I can confidently bring my pot to God. With some of my failings, some of my fears, some of the things that I don't want to show anyone else. And I don't know what you think this morning. Maybe that pot needs to be lifted up and say, God, will you come and you fill it with the oil this morning? And God, I can see two other pots in my life with people and family members in my life. That God, they need to be have their pot to be filled. So Lord, will you allow me to speak into their lives that they might come and be filled too? So God says this morning, what shall I do for you? What do you need? As I'm asking that question, you probably, some of you are saying, I've asked you 20 times already. God says, get your pot. Just get your pot. I'm about to pour something new and something fresh in your pot. What shall I do for you? Enlarge the place of our tent. And I believe when we do that, we will see an open heaven. There's nothing more exciting apart from seeing someone's leg broken than leading someone to Christ, than seeing people healed and seeing people set free and delivered, to seeing God in action, to see Him moving in your life, to see the realities, the outward expression of an inward manifestation in your life. Nothing more exciting. Oh Lord, will you fill us up this morning? We bring our pots to you today. We bring along the empty pots, Lord, and ask, Lord, you'd fill them up with fresh oil. Fresh oil, Lord. Fresh oil. Oh God, as you ask us today, what can I do for you? Lord, may we all have that thought in our mind, Lord. Lord, I need this, Lord. Will you come and fill me with fresh oil that I might be the one, Lord, that works out these situations, Lord, that as your Spirit flows through me, I will see the release, I will see the breakthrough. I will see, Lord, the supernatural touch of heaven upon these areas of my life. Fresh oil. And Lord, may you also show me, Lord, the ones in my world, Lord, that I need to speak to, that I might bring these pots, Lord, to you, that you might fill them up, Lord. May we be the ones, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.